Listen, I can't help it that, you know, my OnlyFans makes millions of dollars a month. You know, that's just...
Welcome to Behind the Sins, presented by CinemaSins.
Welcome to Behind the Sins, a weekly look at everything going on inside the world of CinemaSins. I'm Aaron Dicer, and I'm joined, as always, by Jonathan Watkins.
Hello, hello.
And Danae Hughes.
Hi, yes, let's do this thing. Let's do the show. Let's talk about shit. Woo!
Possibly the longest intro from Danae ever. We write for CinemaSins and TV Sins and do various other things inside the CinemaSins universe as well. Hey, guys. Everybody okay? Everybody doing all right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody okay?
Yeah.
Good, good. Yeah, this it's interesting. We are sometimes we are behind the curve, you know, like with things going on in the world, right? Because we talk on a Friday morning, like almost a full week before it releases. And so there is a lot of time between now and then. And I was thinking, man, you know, we might be through the election by the time that, well, that's not true. It'll actually be like a few days.
This is our
before.
Halloween episode, technically.
That's what I was going to say, is this is technically our Halloween episode. So, yeah. Happy Halloween, you guys.
Happy Halloween.
What are your plans? What are you going to do? How are you going to celebrate All Hallowsween?
Not get corona.
Good plan.
I don't know. No, seriously. Our neighborhood, I think, is... I don't know what we're doing yet. We haven't completely decided if we're going to partake. My daughter is... She doesn't really want to trick-or-treat anymore, which is fine. But we have not decided whether or not we're handing out candy. And we don't really know for sure if our neighborhood's even doing it. So...
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we are...
That wasn't a very exciting answer. I apologize. But, but usually we hunker down and... watch a bunch of fun Halloween-y type stuff that's appropriate for children.
You said Halloween-y.
Yep.
We're going to do the same thing we do every year, but this year we have an excuse, which is nothing. So I think we usually have a bowl of candy ready most Halloweens, but people don't usually stop by our house. So, you know, we haven't done anything for a long time.
Man, I don't know how it's going to go this year. I'm interested and curious. We're in a new house, new neighborhood. My husband has been purchasing 2 bags of candy every week for over a month. So we have this massive cache of candy ready to go. And but he has been disappointed every single year for the entirety of our marriage, because every neighborhood we've ever lived in has been disappointing in the visitors department. And he really loves handing out candy. He loves Halloween. So if it's not flying, if we're not going to do it, this poor guy, every single year is a disappointment, and we have so much freaking candy. So I don't know what's going
to
happen, but I'm glad to be reminded, because I am supposed to try to create part of Iris's outfit, which means I have like a week to do that. And so that just reminded me, I got to bust it. I got to do some test material and see if I can iron stuff onto her shirt properly. So I got a little bit of arts and crafts to do over here.
It's really exciting. It's on a Saturday this year, though. It's unfortunate that it's this year, that it's 2020, that it's on a Saturday. Yeah. But Saturday is always a fun day, because my daughter and I, the stuff like we typically do leading up to it, we can just kind of do it on that day. Like, we usually watch Nightmare Before Christmas. We usually watch The Halloween Tree, which
cool.
is really, yeah. And, you know, usually a few like different specials we'll find. There's a lot of them are on YouTube. Like the Garfield Halloween special has become a favorite of ours.
Oh, interesting.
So we do stuff like that. And I don't know. We just have, it's just, you know, it's fun. I love having a daughter that gets into it, even though she's not a huge, like, she's not really into scary stuff, but she enjoys Halloween. Maybe because she knows I do. I don't know. But
yeah, definitely could be. Well, whatever
regardless,
the case,
it's kind of our day.
Yeah. Well, whatever the case, whatever your family is doing, stay safe, and we hope you have a great time watching the movies you love or whatever, and have a great, what is it, All Hallows Eve, technically?
All Hallows Eve.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Let's get into the show. Let's do this Inside Scoop.
To infinity and beyond!
Somewhere beyond my wild history.
To boldly go where no man has gone before.
We're going to take a look at the videos from the week, the process of sending them, how we felt about the show / movie / music video / random things we talk about in general. What do you guys, let's start with The Simpsons. It's our third Treehouse of Horror. It's becoming harder and harder to remember which segment is from which Treehouse at this point. but I believe this is the one with the candy nightmares. Is that right, or was that last week?
That was last week. This is the one where they're having the Halloween party.
Forget it. Somebody else do this. I'm done. I can't remember which this one is which. This is the
one which actually has like a pretty bad setup where they're doing the Halloween party, which isn't very interesting. But the segments are really good, including the zombie segment, which is one of probably the most famous ones. It definitely has one of the most famous lines, which we gave a send off for the you shot zombie Flanders.
Mm-hmm. He was a zombie.
this one, and actually, hey, that was in the other one where the runs in with the to try to. Nope. That's next week.
Yeah, we haven't done that one yet. This is King Kong. This is King Homer, the Krusty doll.
Oopsie.
and the zombies.
There you go, Jonathan.
But it just
got
makes
it.
Me wonder: is that one of the recurring ones? Like, did what? They do that in the first one and the second one, where there was an attempted murder that was like? But I don't remember that happening.
Yeah.
But yeah, Clown Without Pity, King Homer, and Dial Z for Zombies is this one.
Nice. Anything?
What was the first one called?
Did I say Clown Without Party? I meant Pity.
Clown Without Pity. Yeah. No, you said Pity.
Yeah.
Okay.
You may have said party. You may have said pity. Either way.
Pity party.
Don't throw a pity party. All right. Well, I don't know that I have much more to say about these specials than I have. I do like all these segments. I think when you look at the early Treehouse of Horrors, you remember how great these segments were. They continue to be really fun, and I was kind of disappointed the new Treehouse of Horror got pushed back because we talked about it last week like it was coming, but was it baseball that pushed it back? I think.
Yeah, they just because there ended up being a game seven in the National League Championship series, and so since it was a Sunday night, Fox decided to actually broadcast it as well instead of it just being like on FS1 or whatever.
I still watch The Simpsons. I've talked about that, and in general, I watch the episodes. I smile occasionally. There's still some good humor there, but the one episode I actually look forward to every year is this episode. And so,
and it's kind of weird when it's on like November 1st. Like,
right?
That's just kind of odd.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to feel a little weird this weekend. So
it's Halloween weekend, I guess. That's kind of cool.
So anyways, I don't have much more to say about these. Do you guys have anything specific about this episode you wanted to say before we get into the sins?
No, I mean, I think this is the strongest one of the first three. I think as far as like, you know, consistency within the segments, I think this is one of the better ones.
It's
that
a good
I
lineup.
Remember.
Yeah, that's for sure. It's definitely a good lineup. This was a Dicer Watkins script. Jonathan and I wrote on this one. So Danae, why don't you lead us into some sins that you wanted to highlight?
Well, my first one is who wrote the paint diarrhea joke and have you seen a doctor? Because if your diarrhea looks like that, you've got...
Well, I was saying like, I was just calling it paint diarrhea. I was just saying like, you know, like we don't know what to paint. So just throw some shit up there, basically.
Literally.
Yeah. Literally, I just wanted to make sure you're okay, you know, and maybe if you need to go to the doctor.
No, I'm good.
Okay. I really liked the lowercase I that vexes so, just kind of fixating on that. It was interesting, too, because...
It was the only lowercase letter.
It was the only... Well, there was the exclamation point at the end, which was technically an I flipped upside down, so then I was wondering if maybe there was a weird obsession with the exclamation points.
Sure.
So it was fun to see that sin unfold while I'm kind of trying to write one in my own head without trying to write it, I guess,
right.
I should
say.
It was just sort of happening in the back of my mind. So that was fun. The one spell that fits all thought was really clever. Love the cancel culture joke. And the outtake that started with no rhyming, I mean it, and then said, hey, monkey, want a peanut was really fun because it just like switched those around, which was great.
And I had it the other way around, I think, or something. I don't remember. We both wrote a peanut when there, or maybe you just changed mine to do that. I don't remember, but
it was great.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah. Great job.
Thanks. Jonathan, what do you got?
I had do the Simpsons appear to be the family on the block that would throw the Halloween party? I just thought that was really funny. I just thought it was odd. Hotline set up to keep Sue from doing stuff. And, I also really enjoyed, he should eat fewer people, Marge.
Yep. All that is very, very good. You guys took everything I had, so I guess we can just move on. We'll move on to Star Trek Discovery, the Vulcan hello. I have watched Star Trek Discovery. Jonathan, I believe you've watched Star Trek Discovery as well.
I have not started watching the new season yet, but yes, I have seen it up to this point.
Danae, I don't think you're watching this show.
No, but I am curious, Jonathan, what do you think of the show overall?
Yeah.
I like it. As far as the newer stuff, I think I probably like Picard and Lower Decks a little better, but no, I'm really enjoying it. It's got a really nice cast, and it's done some really interesting things with the Star Trek mythology, which I think is what has annoyed some older Star Trek fans. But I don't know. I think, like Aaron talks about, with like Star Trek is such a makeup of my pop, like such a part of my pop culture makeup. If there's new Star Trek, like I'm enjoying it on some level. It's really hard to like really disappoint me in that regards. I know it's not for everyone, apparently. I feel like sometimes I'm in the minority, but obviously it's doing well because they just renewed it for a fourth season.
Well, so I guess the Star Trek stuff is really their linchpin of their streaming service.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like the Star Trek stuff has to work for them, and it's working well enough that they're going to keep doing it.
But I guess if people are watching this, they've seen it, but like they really get, like they do some interesting things with like the mirror universe, and they bring back Captain Pike, and they make him a main character, which is really interesting because we haven't, other than the J.J. Abrams movies and the original pilot, we haven't really seen a lot of Pike. And so that was fun. And, you know, I don't know. And they do some interesting things with Spock that I know pissed off a lot of fans, but I thought was really cool, actually. I don't know. It doesn't bother me. Like, I don't know how else to say that. Like, I don't know. It's just, I'm just so happy there's Star Trek. So,
yeah.
I watch it and enjoy it. And, cause I've watched every series all the way through, since I was a kid. So,
my experience with Star Trek is quite a bit more limited than yours. I've watched a lot of the original series. I don't know if I've watched every single one, but I know I've watched a lot of it. I've watched a lot of Next Generation. I'm 100% sure I haven't seen every single episode of Next Generation. And that's about it. I think I may have in... What was the one that the guy from Quantum Leap was the main guy in?
Enterprise. Scott Bakula, Enterprise.
Yeah, Scott Bakula. I think I watched an episode of Enterprise. But beyond that, I hadn't really watched any Star Trek until these new ones. I watched all the movies. But I watched Picard. I watched Lower Decks, which I liked both of those. And I've watched Discovery. And Discovery was a slow burn for me. I really wasn't sure I liked it until about episode 4, and I was like, "No, I'm digging this. I'm digging the way they're playing with the plot. The sci-fi stuff is really cool in Discovery. If you're a sci-fi fan, they're doing some really fun sci-fi concepts, and they're playing with them in the Star Trek universe in a way that is fan servicey enough to get that it's fan service, but not so fan servicey that it feels like that's all it's about. And so I've really enjoyed that. And I think it's just catching its stride. I watched the first episode of this new season and I loved it. And
Oh, that's good to hear. Yeah, I just haven't had a chance yet.
I could be completely in the minority here, but I think this show is just now really hitting its stride. And I think part of that has to do with the character of Michael Burnham. I think she was, I think that character was written very underplayed for a long time, purposefully based on, you know, character traits and those kind of things. And she's really given a chance to shine the last half of season 2 in the beginning of this third season. Well, so, yeah.
And it's interesting because the you know, we did the pilot, which is a two, which ends up, we did the first episode. The second episode is the second part. But then that ends in a way you're definitely not expecting.
Right.
And then the third episode is, I don't remember how far into the future. And it's like, I mean, there are some of the same people. Some of those people stay on the show, but a lot of them don't.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's I don't know. And Star Trek has never done that before.
Right.
You know, and this is also this and Picard and Lower Decks for that matter is very much like, each episode continues into the next one for the most part, which is also not a Star Trek staple.
Right.
You know, with the exception of the last couple seasons, the exception of some of Deep Space Nine, They don't typically have continuing storylines like that. Star Trek's very episodic, and so that's very different, which I like. But also, I don't mind the episodic stuff either. I mean, if they decided to come out with one that was more episodic, I'd be okay with that. So it's just very different.
Let me ask you one question, then we'll move into the video. But I want to pick your brain as somebody who has seen all of the shows. It strikes me that Lower Decks takes place kind of during Next Generation years, and
yeah, Lower Decks. If hold on, no, go ahead.
Sorry. And Picard obviously takes place after Next Generation years, and that Discovery feels more like it has to because of the Spock stuff has to take place during like OG years, right? Like, or at least without giving too much away, it starts with the people who live in the OG years.
It is older, and that's always funny, of course. And I thought about even like sending that, but I decided not to. But you know, it's like, it's kind of like when you watch the Star Wars prequels and you were like, things looked better than they do in the future because it was movies made in the late 90s versus movies made in the 70s and early 80s.
Yeah.
And you kind of have that here. Like, this looks like J.J. Abrams, universe, which looks way more futuristic than, you know, Star Trek Deep Space Nine or Star Trek Voyager, which was way ahead of, you know, way past that. But it is what it is. But it's just kind of funny. But no, you're right. Lower Decks, I'm trying to remember the specific because it's somewhere in that Next Generation era, like right after it or something. Well, because
a couple of the Next Generation characters show up in one of the episodes.
Yeah. So it's not quite as far out as Picard. Picard is after, like, Picard was the first show that was post Voyager.
Right. Well, I will take the changing of things as a way to transition into the video, because this was a Hughes Watkins script. So Danae and Jonathan wrote on this. Actually, before I do, Danae, I do want to hear your thoughts just watching this pilot episode. Like, is it something you would be interested in? What did you think?
So I grew up watching Next Generation. So I love the Star Trek universe. And then we also watched, what was the first one? On reruns.
The original series. They just call it the Star Trek, the original series.
Okay. So we watched that one too.
There's a joke in Lower Decks where he's like, yeah, Star Trek TOS. And what's the TOS stand for? He's like, those old space guys.
And my aunt was a major Trekkie. And so growing up wanting to impress her, I was like, I'm a Trekkie too. But I don't know a lot of lore. I know enough to where the lingo in this show was familiar to me. So I wasn't uncomfortable. It was an easy thing to slip into and not an entirely new universe that has new, you know, languages and stuff like that. And enough so that I was able to question a couple things that I was seeing. The Klingon deaths, for example, or like the protocol, you know, that they are mentioning, and just being like, I don't know, is that what that protocol is? And just like, I knew enough to look up questions about the continuity, which led me to learn things about, you know, the certain technologies that technically didn't exist when this was created, and finding clever ways to send that and stuff.
That was one of my favorite things about your script, was the way you went about sending those things.
Yeah, because I want to give a little bit of my personal fan service to this material, but at the same time, remember that the narrator doesn't give a shit. So, you know, finding fun ways to do that where it's a wink and a nod and also like a stab in the back. That's the nice balance between what we do. We're having fun.
Are we talking about Toby? Because that Toby sin was maybe my favorite thing about this episode.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Maybe this week.
Because
I had written something for that too, but mine was just, in fact, I think, was that the one where I gave you the note like, I knew this too, but sadly I didn't look it up or something? I was like kind of sad that I didn't have to look it up.
It was either that or that was the one where it was the ability to have the holographic technology for communication.
That's what it was. It was that one. It was the holographic. But I had written something more straightforward and not as clever as what Danae had done. So I was like, well, I'm just picking Danae's. Didn't even put an alt in. So
I think the fun part about the technology one was sinning that it's not on the right timeline, and also sinning that we can't just sit back and enjoy it, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's one thing that I love about this show, and I was really having a good time with this show, is this new ability with CGI and camera work, and just we have a different way of being able to shoot material mm-hmm. like this, you know. And you go back and you look at the original and you see those sets and how they did their special effects work, things like that, and it's just so very different. Even and it, I've always really loved too looking at how they make their aliens with all the prosthetics and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite reality TV shows is I think it's called Face Off, right? Where mm-hmm. they
yeah on Sci-Fi. I've watched that many times.
I love that show. To watch how these creatures are created, and mm-hmm. a series like Star Trek is a place for all of those people to be able to exist. And so there's just a fun like I didn't know about the Kelpian race. So I looked up the Kelpian race, and it's just the world building of Star Trek is fun for me. So I really mm-hmm. did enjoy watching this one. Although I kind of hurt myself because for whatever reason, I thought I had my closed captioning on when I watched this the first time, but I didn't. And I thought that we were kind of doing this really interesting immersive thing because the entire first part is all in Klingon. And I thought, oh, this is really artistic and interesting, right? Because what I was watching didn't have it on the bottom of the screen. And I'm sure when it aired, it actually had it on the bottom of the screen.
Were you able to follow what was going on, though? That's interesting.
Clue.
That's to say, I don't think that's artistic or interesting if you don't know what's going on.
I watched the entire show where every time there was Klingon, I had no idea what was happening. I was just watching for like how they were acting, which, by the way, in that amount of prosthetics is really hard to follow. You don't see eyebrow expressions or anything. You know, the guy that kind of comes out to take over this mantle of going out and lighting the beacon, I didn't understand that argument in any form or fashion. I actually had to turn on closed captioning for it to finally appear on my screen when the Klingon spoke. And so it was obviously just some kind of weird tweaky thing with the one that I was watching. It just didn't have it. So that was interesting, because then on my second watch was when I understood what was happening with the Klingons. So I would say it's interesting. I like the female captain. I think I'm enjoying Michael a little bit, although I think I liked it enough to watch it again, but I didn't go and just continue to watch it, is my long answer.
No, that's great. I'm glad to hear that. I think it's a really good show, and I'm glad that all of us enjoy it on some level.
That was beautiful too.
Oh, it is. You know, you talk about that CG, you know, kind of seeing new shows that have more tools in their tool belt mm-hmm. than the old ones do. And, you know, I've experienced that with Doctor Who, like the new Doctor Who's versus like the old school Doctor Who's, and how different that is. I just experienced that yesterday with the new Anne Hathaway Witches movie, where it's like, you know, I've watched the old one because I love that book and it's fine. But watching the CGI work they do in this new one is just mind blowing. And I love it so much. So it's like, I like that, you know. I think rightfully so, dig into pop culture for being too reliant on reboots and remakes and those kind of things. But at the same time, sometimes there are some benefits to that. Like, you get to explore a world in a better, deeper way that you got to the first time. So, yeah.
I will say I was genuinely annoyed by the computer stuff where it's like, you know, initiating launch sequence. And then it goes through like every single like oxygen, check.
Mm-hmm.
Butthole, check. Like, it was just every single thing.
Wait, I don't remember the butthole check on the Discovery show. How did I miss that scene? Do they have to do a butthole check before they leave? Like, how does that work?
And then, like, they walk in the door and it's like computer, and it's like, hey, yeah, I'm here. How was your day? I've just been hanging out here in this console all day. And it's like, shut up. You're not a character. You're just a freaking computer. And maybe that's wrong. Maybe the computer should be a character. Maybe that's part of the show. I don't know. But I missed the little ding, like, hey, here, listening. And so that was annoying to me. For sure, that was annoying.
Man, anti-AI honestly, sentiment from Danae.
Honestly, the opening sequence of this was annoying to me. I think I researched, this could be wrong, I'm going from memory, but I believe it was added afterwards. The whole opening sequence where they go and they, mm-hmm. like, fix the well, that was not part of the, like, the start. They kind of added that later. That felt really clunky to me, but I understand the idea of like doing this away thing. But when you really question what they're doing there, or their conversation, or how they're interacting with the aliens, or this, like, how does the ship even see this mark from outer space when it's cloud coverage? Mm-hmm. You know, there's just that whole thing just falls apart. Like, we're walking in a circle and it's clearly not, which, you know, and even how smart Michael is supposed to be in the question, it was just very weird.
Well, it has nothing to do with anything, which is fine. I mean, that's okay, but I agree with you.
If they could have made it intelligent, that would have given us, and what they were trying to do is like, Michael has to trust the captain.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that, but there's a different way to do that. And it just seemed really clunky to me. But anyways, I would still watch the show.
My favorite thing about this process was I get this like message from Danae in the Slack channel that just says, these opening credits are garbage.
Oh my God. Forgot about that.
It's just out of nowhere.
Fucking those opening credits. And I apologize if you like them. Sweet. Great.
I don't.
They are so, was it Westworld?
Yeah, they're very Westworldian.
It is so Westworld. And I was like, and so Jonathan sent them as well, and we went with his sin, which was great because it's the same kind of a concept. It was just
well, and I got to make fun of the Enterprise opening credits, which were the worst, so that was fun.
Those credits, man. I'm like, what is going on?
What's going on is they wanted opening credits to, you know, emphasize an opening theme that had elements of the other themes, and you know, there's fan service going on, I think. All right, I'll move us in to the video itself. You were talking about the way things are older, but somehow not older. And mm-hmm. I loved the sin about the decorative thigh zippers as an example of that idea. Leg zippers, baby. That's where fashion's going. So I really enjoyed that one. I guess she didn't calculate for the ever-changing winds of plot convenience. Rookie mistake. That made me laugh quite a bit. You spelled Wheaton wrong. Made me giggle.
That one almost got cut.
Oh, really? Yeah, I definitely giggled at that one. So thank you, Discovery, for messing up Klingon lore for Toby. I honor you with a sin. We talked about Toby a little bit already, but I did. That was my favorite sin of the episode. Is he surprised, afraid, wondering if he left the food maker thingy on?
I wrote something to Jonathan about, and I couldn't remember the name of the food replicator, and so I said the food maker thingy. He's like you have to use that in the script somewhere. And so but they didn't use the food replicator, and I thought, I can't do it. And then when I was writing the sin about his expression, I was like, oh, it's like when you leave the stove on at home and you're like, oh no, but it's the food maker thingy. It's perfect. So that was fun.
It was great. Yeah. Lots of great food replicator jokes in Lower Decks too. That show is really funny. It's really good.
It is.
I haven't watched it. I really need to.
Man, that was quick. Are Vulcans just always on the ready, never playing golf or on the toilet reading Maxim? That made me laugh quite a bit as well. What about you guys? Jonathan, what are some of the things that you wanted to mention?
You took a few of them, but and Danae already mentioned, but I did have that Michael would know that by walking in its shape, they had not created a circle. That was a good point. And then I wanted to bring up the coffin porn sin because...
Yeah.
Barrett suggested, like, I don't remember what we had. We had coffin porn in there, but Barrett suggested a rewrite, and he wrote the sin as it is. If this coffin porn goes on for much longer, I will be watching it from the comfort of my own. And Danae and I both, just the way we read it, we were just like,
from
did
your
he leave
what?
A word out?
You guys.
No, really.
It's hilarious.
We came around to it eventually. Danae, I think, figured it out, and then I was like, oh, yeah, that makes more sense.
And it was one of those embarrassing things where we had already sent the notes back to Barrett, like, it's I think just, you left out a word. Like, what is this?
Yeah,
fine. Well, if
he's like
trying
to be really nice, like, no, guys, that's what I meant.
I know that feeling well, as narrating scripts can be like that sometimes, where it's like, what is this sentence? How does this sentence work? I don't understand how these words go together. It's like, I have to figure out the context to actually get the delivery.
And then the only other thing I had is the way the editors did the I Come in Peace outtake was even better than I had envisioned it. So that was really nice.
Nice. Danae, what about you?
You go in pieces.
I liked writing the unspooling one just because genetic unspooling turns out isn't actually a thing, which, you know, if you Google search any of this scientific futuristic jargon from Star Trek, there's like a 99% chance it's all just a bunch of BS. Yeah. But I was like, genetic unspooling sounds real. It's not. I just want to let you know that's not really a thing. She won't make it unless we get her now. And then pointing out that she does. And I volunteer you to wear the red shirt. Just kind of a wink and nod to the different colored shirts. And then the all Klingons must come to the light when it shines in the sky. And then referring that to Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
In such a way where it's like Lord of the Rings makes sense because they've got these beacons that are on a physical mountain. But how are the Klingons able to set off a beacon of light and then have their people appear when it's not light in the sky? It's light in space, which travels differently. So yeah. That was
funny too, because I've only seen the Lord of the Rings movies once each. So I was just like, I don't want to look this up. So I'm just going to trust that Danae knows what she's talking about. She talks about Lord of the Rings all the time. And I'm going to say this is correct. And if nerds attack her, oh well.
Oh, wow.
I can't do anything.
Oh, did you see the glorious new Lord of the Rings Steelbook collection in 4K that just got announced?
No.
Oh my goodness. My wallet feels the pain.
Oh no. I loved the Fifth Element outtake that Jonathan put together. And I also really enjoyed putting in the Phineas and Ferb outtake.
Yes.
Which I only knew about because I had recently sent it, and that was really exciting. So
great stuff.
We've been
guys.
Doing that a lot. Like I had that Manfred sin and something recently. I can't remember. Maybe that hasn't.
I believe
been
you mean Manfred. I think it's
Manfred.
Manfred
yeah,
is how that's pronounced, if I'm correct.
What?
All right, let's move on to Gwen Stefani, Holla Back Girl. This is the music video sin for the week. Barrett has thoughts on it. Danae, what are Barrett's words? Preferably in the order he wrote them in.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Well, I realized it was unclear. You know, I just realized you could just start saying random words that
words?
He wrote. So, yeah, what are
I
the
was,
words?
I was like, does Danae read them out of order sometimes? Like, I'm so confused right now.
I'll try it now. Do Gwen something special? Fuck. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, that sentence makes way too much sense.
Oh yeah. Oh God. How do I do that?
It's completely unintentional.
I just assumed that's what he wrote.
But just, you know, it's fair. You know, Danae, your brain just does it. It's good. It's a gift. It's
Barrett's
a gift.
Always going to have my favorite, like, CinemaSins moment ever. Actually, BTS moment with the Can We Fuck?
Yeah.
at Sin Week. Oh, my God.
He's never followed through on that. So I'm starting to wonder about myself.
No. All right. He says, I hate Holla Back Girl with every fiber of my being. When I was working in neurology research, the nurse that was technically my boss would always stream music from her cubicle. And in 2005, that meant every song from Love Angel, Music Baby, the album from which this abomination came. The lyrics are nonsensical, even though it's bizarrely a diss track directed at Courtney Love. I do have to say that I had a massive crush on Gwen from about 02 to 07, so watching this video wasn't all bad. The sin that digs at Bush comes from a very deep place of rage at that band. Anyway, it's really disappointing that she did this shit, since Late Stage No Doubt was really getting into something special. In summary, fuck the song, fuck it in the ear.
Wow, he really hates this song. I don't agree. This song, I think, it's fun. It is nonsense. It's complete nonsense, but I think it's really poppy fun to listen to, but maybe I'm in the minority.
I don't like it either. I've never liked it, but I do disagree with him about Bush. I think Bush is a little underrated. The band, Bush, not the beer or whatever else you're thinking.
Or either of the presidents, or you know whatever.
I was a fan of 16 Stone. That's all I'll say. But anyways, yeah, no, I've never liked the song very much. I honestly don't really like her solo career. I was never like a huge No Doubt fan either, so maybe that's just a thing. But I don't know, just her solo stuff never really clicked with me. And my wife likes her quite a bit though, so I've heard a lot of it. My daughter likes her too.
I very much
and Blake Shelton likes her.
Yes, he does. I very much like the sound of her voice. I like the way she forms her
words. Very cool,
I really enjoy listening to her. sing, and I think her voice fits really well with the, you know, kind of the pop punk-ish stuff that, you know, she started with and has continued to do. I did enjoy No Doubt stuff, and I did enjoy some of her solo stuff as well.
Yeah, no, she's extremely talented. Like I said, it just, for whatever reason, sure, just doesn't click with me.
Danae, what's your experience with No Doubt and Gwen Stefani and kind of the whole thing?
I would say in the world of pop culture, in the world of music, when you have women to look up to or artists to look up to or to look towards for the content that they're creating, Gwen was someone that I was like, I like her, because she wasn't... you know, going for like pretty girl, and I liked her punk vibe. And this song has that punky, like, not gonna take it vibe to it. But yeah, when you start to read the lyrics, at least when I start to read the lyrics now, I'm like, what was this about? You know, it had that high school sort of vibe to it, where, you know, you're getting into some kind of a fight with someone at school, and, you know, it's no holds barred in the school environment. And so, obviously can't relate to that now, but Gwen herself she's a performer and an artist at the same time. What I mean by that is being able to watch her performances, especially now, like, you know, you can go on YouTube and you can watch some of her live performances and stuff. I mean, she is very activated physically. She's jumping around on stage and she's still performing. And I think anyone who can do that and keep their energy up and deliver a performance, whether it's back in No Doubt days or other things that she's doing, you know, now, I don't know. It's pretty incredible to me. So
for sure.
I like Gwen personally. Yeah. But yeah,
I didn't know anything about the Courtney Love. I don't know if that was well known at the time and I just never heard that, but until now I didn't know that's what this was about.
There were some helpful comments in the comments. One of them I have in my comment section as a backup. I only have one comment that I'm using today, but it's a I have a second backup comment just in case the one gets taken. But anyways, yeah, there were some really helpful people in the comments kind of talking.
Then I did not look at the comments on this one. So
what did you think of the video, Danae?
She's not in her No Doubt punk. She's like a little punky, doing the whole midriff thing, which I like how that was sinned and addressed. Her physique and her I don't know. It's just really cool to see someone who's like in their mid 30s just killing it like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like also weird to think about somebody
making out with high school kids.
It's also that's exactly what I was gonna say. It's also weird to think about somebody being in their mid 30s like sidling up to the kids. So
guessing
that
those
was a little awkward.
Kids, but I could be wrong.
If you go back and if you look at the like the kids that are on Drumline, they're high school kids.
Oh, okay. I was thinking about that one guy she sidled up to, though. He looked a little older, but I could be wrong. I'm not good with age, so
that's okay.
I can never
either.
Guess age. I you know, you could tell me you're 17, I'd be like, okay.
Okay.
Like you had a child when you're 14, got it.
But again, it just seemed like this is a video that goes along with the lyrics. I instantly respect that more than I respect other videos. It's interesting to watch.
It is a fun video.
It is.
Fun.
Yeah. What do you think about the Sins video? What are some of your highlights?
Oh my god, the rub your ass in the driver's face while singing "That's My Shit" was for me. That was I liked everything, but I couldn't get over that one. So. That's the only one that I wrote down. I enjoyed so many of them, but then I also liked how Craig in the comment said, I'm just a year older than Gwen. When this video came out, my first thought was, Gwen's also having a mid-30s crisis. I'm not alone.
Nice.
I thought that was good.
Jonathan, what about you? What were some of your highlights?
I mentioned the thing about sidling up to the guy and the bush. I was just saying I thought Bush was better than what Barrett said. So, but I really enjoyed it. It was really funny. And just I agree with everything about the song not being very good. So,
You took a couple of mine, but I also, as a father of four young men who have gone through marching band, they got the poor marching band involved with this, didn't they? Hit a special place. Because then all of a sudden, I'm imagining my own children sidled up next to Gwen Stefani in this music video. And then I also enjoyed, they definitely wanted you to focus on the fringe of her outfit here. I thought was
that was great.
Was really great.
I didn't know her age. I had no idea she was 51. I thought she was a little younger than that. That's good for her, man.
Yeah. Yep. And then how dare you sin fiddle faddle? That's all I have to say. How dare you? That is some good, good stuff.
I had nothing to do with this.
Well, hopefully this gets to Barrett and Barrett can explain himself.
So what is fiddle faddle? It's just like...
It's like Crunch and Munch.
Is it just like Chex Mix?
No.
Oh.
It's more like caramel corn, peanuts. Like it's more of a Crunch and Munch kind of thing. Yeah, it's delicious.
That sounds really good.
Cracker Jacks.
I need to add that to my grocery list.
Yeah, Cracker Jacks, Fiddle Faddle, Crunch and Munch. Crunch and Munch is my favorite of those, but yeah.
I like Crunch and Munch, not a huge Cracker Jack. Cracker Jack always just tastes like stale to me.
Yeah, especially if you had the old boxes at a baseball game. That's my first experience with Cracker Jacks.
Yeah. You just always got a prize. That's why I like them.
Yes, same with cereal, right? Any of those big sugar foods that include a kid's prize for marketing purposes.
You don't really do prizes anymore because I still eat like kid's cereal. And you have to send in box tops for stuff.
Yeah.
At some point they realize it's probably not a great idea to like tempt kids with toys to eat a bunch of sugar. Like at some point, you know, hopefully we're evolving as a...
I don't need the toy. It's just one of those things. It's like they don't have if I'm up on Saturday morning, like they don't have Saturday morning cartoons anymore. Do I want to watch Saturday morning cartoons? No, but I want them to be there.
That's right.
It's like, what's the great, oh my God, the Great Pumpkin's not on TV anymore. That's horrible.
That's why I have my 4K disc, baby.
Charlie Brown in 4K. But it's not the same. The whole thing about the TV is it's like a bunch of people are watching it together. You know, like there's something about that.
Interesting.
It's just really, it's really neat to me.
There is a feature on Disney Plus where you can press a button and you can watch it with someone else.
Yeah.
And we're thinking about trying that. So Iris is into PJ Masks right now and her cousin is into PJ Masks as well. And so we thought, it'd be kind of cool to set up like a little video hangout and then have them both watch the same PJ Masks at the same time. So even though they're in New York and, you know, we're in Missouri, it might be a way to
That'd
stay
really
connected.
That'd be really cool. The first year we did Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween, Mackenzie dressed up as Owlette.
Oh, that's so cute. Do you
have
pictures?
She actually still has the costume. It probably still fits her, to be honest. But it was like when she was 5, I think. So maybe 4 years ago. So.
Oh, that's cool.
Good stuff, as always, with Music Video Sins. Let's move into Cinema Sins. We'll start with Saw V, which is Saw 5. Jonathan, how many Saw movies have there been?
There's been 8 that have actually been released. The 9th one is the one that
Chris Rock
involved in, in Spiral.
So,
and friend of the Sin cast, Darren Bousman, is directing.
Nice. So, was, as many people assumed, an Atkinson-Watkins script. This was Chris and Jonathan writing on Saw 5.
Although, I have a comment that thought you wrote on this.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Well, the nice
did little tease. Did either one of you do Saw 5 comments? You didn't, right?
No.
So I can bring that one up now. Yeah, the I've got to give it up for the Mandalorian. Aaron, you've done it again. Scrapper Alex.
Listen, I'll just go ahead and take credit. You know, if I didn't write it, it was certainly written as me being the inspiration. Let's just say that.
You've never seen a Saw movie, though, right? You've never had to review one or anything?
Nope.
Okay.
Haven't seen a single one. And before we get to Chris's thoughts, I will say this. For the first time ever watching this video, I was like, I kind of might like this universe. Like, there's a part of the riddle of it that is just... And the interconnected meta-ness of it is something that I'm just like... There's something that tweaks my movie-loving brain that's like, I kind of might like part of this. I just don't think I want to stomach the torture, gross,
well,
gore
stuff.
Well,
here's the thing. I would be curious if you watch... I think Saw gets unfairly lumped in with its imitators, and it also gets lumped in with Hostel, which it's very different from.
Okay.
I don't really like the term. I think the term torture porn stupid anyways, and it was coined by a fucking critic anyways, but and it was describing something that wasn't Saw.
Right.
Saw does have, I'm not going to say Saw never has anything that's like what you would qualify as torture, but Saw definitely, like, it it's very mainstream, right? I mean, it's a mainstream property. And it's also got, like, you're talking about, it's got this really weird interwoven mythology. I've never seen a franchise like this. With that being said, with that being said, I only really like the first one. And I love the first one. I think the first one's outstanding. And then after that, I think it's very diminishing. Like the second one's okay. The third one's less okay. The fourth one's bad. This one sucks ass.
So,
and then it just kind of gets worse from there.
Here's my fear. It's not really a fear, but here's my thought. I have heard you and many others say that the first one is really the only good one and the only one where the riddles and traps and everything feel thought out and interesting and, you know, clever and that kind of stuff. And so if that's the part I'm interested, why would I even watch these movies? The only thing I think about is like, well, what if all of a sudden with this new one that Chris Rock is doing, where it's like all of a sudden it's good, and now in order to even understand it, I have to have watched the others.
I think based on what Darren Bousman told us a little bit about it when we interviewed him for another movie he did, he said that it works in the universe, but it's also its own thing.
Okay.
So I have a feeling that's not going to be a problem for you. But what's interesting to me, though, is the trap thing. Yeah, the traps, when they do them, they are pretty gross, but like, I don't know. I'm just telling you, if you haven't seen these movies, whatever you're picturing is so much worse than what actually is on screen. Well, I will say, though, just the aesthetic of the films is very grimy and, you know, and dirty and ugly. But as far as gore, like this one, for instance, this one felt like, I think Chris even mentions this, this one feels almost more like an episode of a TV show.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's hear what Chris had to say.
Saw 5 continues what is basically a TV show you watch in theaters. It's kind of amusing how they keep piling on all these simultaneous storylines with previous Saw movies and try to make them make sense, but of course the fun for us is to explain how they don't work. I had to rewatch Saw 1 through 4 here. It can be fun to go into a late chapter and forget everything you once knew, but they are much better videos when you bring the receipts. It's difficult to truly construct the timelines between 5 movies and figuring out how the new information fits or doesn't. We knew by the end of Saw 4 that Jigsaw had recruited Detective Hoffman to help him out, but then it tries to say Hoffman was there almost from the beginning, after Hoffman tried to do a copycat murder. With super handy, quote-unquote, police reports that tell you the order of the victims and who the detectives were on each case, Saw 5 actually makes it fairly easy to find inconsistencies based on what it says. I'm even ready to say we probably missed some. The story is so complex at this point. And that's the main thing I want to express about this video in its early form. It was the most confusing video we have ever done outside of the Terminator Genesis, which tried to explain the time travel inconsistencies. So many names being thrown around, so many actions described. We had to infuse the other Saw movies into this edit for visual references. It probably has the most extra video footage since White Olympus House Has Fallen down, our April Fool's video confusing White House down and Olympus Has Fallen, and several thousand other movies. Yes, all the outside footage is from Saw movies, but we've never done that much in specific chapters, even with Marvel films.
Yeah, I watched the first four. I rewatched the first four as well. And then Chris and I did 3 and 4 like 2 Halloweens ago, because I think it was right before the Jigsaw came out. And but so those were the freshest on my mind. I hadn't seen the first two since they were in the theater. I hadn't seen them in forever. And so I felt like it would make sense to go back through them, because I knew this was gonna. It was very convoluted, and there was a lot of stuff. And apparently Chris had the same thought, so we both did this. So this might be actually the movie I've put the most time in on in my history with Cinema Sins, which is insane because it's fucking Saw 5.
And maybe correspondingly, the movie that Danae has put the least time in. Purposely.
I hope the editors don't hate us. Maybe you have more knowledge of that, because we did an edit and then Chris is like, I think we're just going to have to go back in. Which, I mean, you know, Ashley, they're all very cool. And I mean, it ended up not being as much as I thought. But I really like that we did that, because I think it made the video better. And we even incorporated in other movies too. Like I threw we got to put that clip from The Firm in there, which I thought sold the point, you know, sold the joke a lot better. So I don't know. It was interesting. It was time consuming, and it was kind of fun.
Yeah, it was. It was interesting from my perspective, since I kind of followed the flow of all the scripts and videos and stuff. There was a note from the editor was like, okay, there's references to other Saw videos, so we'll just need those clips and those reference points at some point. And I was like, okay, cool. And I just thought maybe it was like a one or two maybe outtakes is what you guys are going for. And then all of a sudden I start watching you going in and noting, okay, this is referencing this movie at this point, and this is referencing this movie at this point. Okay, and then this person, here's the IMDb link to this person, and I'm like, holy shit, what are they doing over there? Well, that's going to be crazy.
If I had, it really wasn't as hard as it seems because I had just seen the movie. So if I had not seen the movies for, you know, 10 years, that would have been a little more difficult. But I actually knew exactly where to go to because I knew what I was referencing, you know.
That's cool.
But if we hadn't watched those, we wouldn't have those more complex sins. And I don't know, Chris and I really enjoy writing complex sins like that. So, and I think we work well together on the horror movies anyways, but, that was a fun experience. I've never really gotten that involved on not gone back and used other movies the way we did on this. I've never done that before. So, that was a lot of fun.
So, neither Danae or I have seen this movie. And Danae, it's I don't terrible. Believe you watched the Sins video either, because there's a gruesome warning at the beginning, which makes sense. So I guess I will be playing the role today of Danae asks Jonathan what's going on in a movie.
Cool.
But I will say what you talked about, the in-depth, like, you know, using other movies, that kind of stuff, was actually really helpful to me. And I do feel like for the first time I came away understanding the Saw universe a little bit better. So let me just state it in my own words and you tell me yay or nay. In my own words, we're finding out that a detective has been involved with Jigsaw since pretty yes. much the beginning in yes. helping him do this, because that detective wanted to be a copycat killer at first, but yes. then so this movie, they basically became a team.
Yeah, because this franchise did something really interesting where it killed off its main antagonist at the end of the third movie and left him dead. Yeah. Now they do find ways to bring him into all of the movies. They use, as you see in this, they use flashbacks like an insane person does, but, it's just insane. But yes, you are correct on all of that. So I'm glad that came through.
No, I think it did. Let's talk about the video itself. I will start, and just say, and again, Danae, you didn't watch any of it, did you?
You guys gave me shit about it, so I started watching it until I saw a pendulum swinging and cutting somebody up with blood, and I was like, nope, I'm out.
Fair enough. I'll give some of my thoughts on the video. I guess the easiest answer would be the horse's name was Friday. Really made me laugh because I get that reference.
I'll tell you something crazy about that, though. So the reason that riddle sticks in my head, have you ever seen Little Big League?
Yes.
Where the kid gets the Minnesota Twins? So he's working on a math problem or something. But then there's been this ongoing joke where Jonathan Silverman is telling John Ashton this riddle, which is the answer is the horse's name is Friday.
Right.
Or somebody's telling him a riddle.
Yeah.
And in this one scene when Jonathan Silverman is helping the kid solve this math problem, he says after that he turns to John Ashton, he said, also the horse's name is Friday. So that's what popped in my head. But what's funny that I forgot about completely is Scott Patterson is in that movie.
Oh, nice.
And he's even in that scene. I think he might even be the one that tells John Ashton the riddle. So it was one of those weird things where I actually tied it in even though I wasn't intending to.
Yeah, nice. Very nice. If it wasn't for the fact that I have to keep deleting previous sins because the movie adjusts itself every 10 minutes, not cool, Saw 5. I thought that was great.
And that was legit. I had to delete like 3 or 4 sins and it really pissed me off because they were really good.
I love that you put that in there. love the reference to Law and Order, Saw VU, also known as Saw in Order. I thought that was great. But the person who tries to get on an elevator when people are getting off it are the jerks. End of story. I think that hit me in such a real place. I was just like, yes, it is not the person's fault getting off the elevator. If you are the kind of person that stands right in front of an elevator door when it opens, you're the problem. Back off. There might be people on the elevator that need to get off.
We had so many variations of that too. Like we had a few different things written in that point and that's what we ended up settling on. But yeah, it was just, that whole scene was just so weird. And then we threw in that, you know, what is, but on the second thing, what is this scene? What are we doing here?
Is it Disneyland? I really hope it's Disneyland.
Oh, I was so glad he kept that one in.
That was really funny.
That was one of those. I just pictured Jeremy reading it, and I was like, that'll work.
And then after they say something about the Saw, I was like, well, we're almost an hour and 12 minutes into a movie with Saw in the title. I would say it's about time. I thought that was funny. And then there are five Saws. Wait a minute. Five Saws. Saw 5. Roll credits. I thought that was great. And then the inner thoughts bonus round was one of my favorite bonus rounds of all time. It's so funny because when you see those all together, you realize how ridiculous that whole thing is when people talk to themselves. It's just great.
Well, and like no shit, they edit it to make it look like Scott Patterson is like having Costas Mandalore's memories. I know that's not what they intend. But it's like, but that's the way, I mean, film is a visual medium and it's telling a story visually. So that's what they're telling us.
Right. Yeah.
Whether they mean to or not. So we jumped all over that.
What did you want to, what are some other ones that I missed, Jonathan?
Well, I agree with Chris. Chris actually took the sins off at the end for the ending. And that's the thing about these Saw movies is they always leave you with like a really fun, but they leave you kind of with a bang because one thing about Saw, the score is amazing. Like that main, that I think it's called Zep, Hello Zep or something like that. That main Saw theme is so good. And they always do that thing at the end where everything starts tying together, and they're playing that score. And so I love that Chris actually did. He's like, even this movie sucks. You know, this ending is so badass. Just us sending the stupidity of the people involved in the game, because they are some of the dumbest characters in the history of film. Why does this diorama need to be up to date? I thought it was really funny.
Mm-hmm.
And then this sequence is the editing equivalent of Nu Metal. The sequence is brought to you by Mudvayne. I just love the way Jeremy read that. He read it like as I envisioned it. So that's always fun.
Nice.
And I'm sure we pissed off some Mudvayne fans, but I don't know. They haven't been around since like 2012. So, this was just a really fun one to work on. I was really happy with the outcome.
Yeah, no, this is a really great script and a really great video. You guys did awesome. It's really funny. Let's move on to Trolls World Tour. This was a Dicer Share script. This was myself and Barrett. Have either of you seen this movie?
Nope.
All right, let's hear what Barrett had to say about it first.
I will take a trip. I will take a drink. A trip. I will take a trip.
Oh,
that's mine. If I haven't seen it,
shit.
I get to go on vacation.
Oh, I was thinking the other kind of tripping.
Yeah, I was thinking acid,
wait,
too.
Yeah, no, I'm going to do that instead. Thank you. I prefer that over vacation right now.
Barrett said, World Tour, Trolls World Tour, is worse than the last one in that the previous iteration at least had a fucking plot. This one features all the side characters and maybe 10 lines apiece for Anna Kendrick and Justin Timberlake. Total cash grab, which I understand, but total lack of story. I do have to say the visuals are impressive, as is some of the music. So if I were into drugs, I would probably have a pleasant time watching this.
I echo everything he said and maybe even strengthen the visuals and music thing. This is not a great movie. But it is a great music video, if that makes any
oh, cool.
kind of sense, or a great series of music videos.
That kind of weirdly makes me want to see it.
It's fun.
Yeah,
it's
too.
Beautiful. And I'm telling you, watching it on a really nice television with like crystal clear colors and that kind of stuff was a lot of fun.
You got a nice TV.
And I will continue to bring it up as much as I need to get home.
Oh, I'm going to buy 4K Lord of the Rings because I'm rich. And my TV's huge.
Listen,
sorry.
I can't help it that, you know, my OnlyFans makes millions of dollars a month. That's just... but I echo everything he said, especially the emphasis on the good parts. But the negative parts are really bad. It makes it's just not a great story, great movie. It is fun to sin, though. I had a blast sinning this movie. It was really, really fun.
It's really weird. My daughter... And I think this just might be the gap that it was the second one was made from the first one, because I can't remember how old my daughter was when the first one came out, but I feel like she was only like 5. It was 4 or 5 years ago, right?
It's been a hot minute.
So that was like, she loved the hell out of that movie. Like, we had to listen to the sound. We didn't have to, but we listened to the soundtrack all the time in the car. We took her to the theater between me and my wife taking her. I think she saw it 4 or 5 times in the theater. Like, she just loved this movie. Mm-hmm. Then the second one came out and I even asked her like, hey, do you want to rent this or whatever? She's like, no, I'm good. So like, she had no interest, you know, at 8 or, well, let's see, when did this come out? Was this early? Yeah, she was still 8 when it came out. But anyway, she was just like, no, I'm good. I'll just go watch YouTube or whatever.
Wow.
So, kids. So no, I haven't seen it because I wasn't going to pay $20 for it.
Yeah.
To watch
yeah.
it by myself. So,
Danae, what are some of your favorite parts of the Sins video?
Is that what we're doing today? I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
I wasn't told to take drugs, and now I have to pause for 37 minutes. that was specific and funny. Wonderful. The music video Sins call out was also exciting. Mm-hmm. Everything looks R&B, like when referencing that there was only 6 major ones and then Wikipedia. Oh,
yeah, with the wrap this up, everything R&B, I mean A-OK. Yeah.
I mean A-OK.
Yeah.
Just, there was a lot of really clever wordplay happening, which I'm not surprised since you were on the script. And then my favorite was the high five that was intimate, and we're pretty sure we just saw a troll anal.
Yeah, I had that one down too. That was funny.
Unexpected twist there, and I'm okay with it. That was really, really fun.
Yeah.
You heard it here. Danae is okay with troll anal.
you heard it here first.
Jonathan, what about you? How do you feel about it?
Danae, were you finished?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I liked dicking along with the bumbling dicky weeds. I just thought that was really funny. The flute family are sturdy folk, which I think was the end of a sin. Non-consensual heavy eyeball petting was one of mine. And I loved the Key and Peele outtake because that's one of my favorite Key and Peele sketches. So I was glad to see you guys throw that in there.
That whole thing with the techno trolls and like waiting for the drop, and he's, you know, waiting to hit the drop button was so great. And the sin about the DJ finally hits the drop button, causing at least a few trollgasms throughout the crowd is so accurate because I have never been okay. This is going to sound more sexual than you probably wanted to hear, but it simulates the idea of reaching orgasm better than any movie I've ever seen with that drop thing. And it made me I got a little hot. That's all I'm saying. I got a little hot under the collar.
To be fair, though, collar. That's kind of what that is, right? Like the idea of waiting for the beat
absolutely.
To drop. I mean, that's a central thing, right?
Yes.
100%.
Techno is simulating sexual stimulation with the idea of waiting for the beat to drop. And the beat drop is the orgasm. And that is no more clear than in this scene of Trolls World Tour.
So. I never want to be in a crowded club when the beat drops then. No.
Or do you? so I like that sin. Little known fact, the opening number barely beat out California Trolls, Motley Crue's Trolls, 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 and Queen's Fat Bottom Trolls for the slot. The traveling by hair planes without clearing the proper hair space from leaving in from approved hairport. Enjoyed writing that because I love it when people just unexpectedly bend all of the sudden. Made me giggle so much.
Yeah,
because I've never really thought about that lyric. You know, then somebody bends unexpectedly, and it's just like anyhow. Why do some territories have a king but others don't? Is there a king of pop? Why is no one mentioning the king of pop? Made me giggle. and then I'd give all the sins back if Barb just started playing God Gave Rock and Roll to You like they did at the end of Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. I don't even care if it's Argent, Kiss, or even the Petra version. And as a CCM kid, that one spoke to me deeply. So very nicely done, Barrett. We had a great time writing that one, and we had a lot of fun. There are just some videos that are just super fun to write on, and this was definitely one of them.
For you it was Trolls, for me it was Saw 5.
Welcome to the definition of behind the sins.
I'm okay, everybody.
Hey podcast peeps, it's me again. Those are my dogs. Those are my every time I talk. Is this how Aaron feels? when we're okay, we're gonna try this. Okay. I just wanted to tell you about the survey again, which is at cinemasense.com/BTS. So go fill it out.
All right, let's move into keeping tabs.
The internet is a communications tool used the world over where people can come together to bitch about movies and share pornography with one another.
Ha ha! Oh, jeez.
This is the most public yet of my many humiliations.
We're each going to talk about something from the preparation process of the Sins experience. Jonathan, why don't you kick us off? What's something, what's your keeping tabs?
We are going to talk about a little more about Saw 5, because I clearly did a insane amount of research on Saw 5. But the Saw franchise. But I just that was the only thing I really researched for these that came out this week. So I just had a bunch of fun facts I thought were crazy. All of the films have grossed collectively $976 million, by the way. And if you factor in retail sales, it's well over $1 billion. As of 2019, it's the fourth highest grossing horror franchise.
Wow.
Can you guess any of the three that are before it?
Ooh.
Yeah, Danae's going to nail this, I bet.
There's Jason.
That's Friday the 13th.
Jason's not even in the top 10.
Oh, I mean Friday the 13th? He's not in the top 10?
Nope.
Okay.
Just outside of it, but not in the top 10. I'd be impressed if you get. Well, one of them's kind of a cheat, because I'll tell you this. Number one is the Conjuring universe, which is kind of a cheat.
That was going to be my guess.
That's a cheat.
That's not a cheat. How is that a cheat?
Well, because it's movie.
I knew what I was talking about, Aaron.
But would you say like a franchise? Like, would you say the MCU is a franchise? Because I don't think it is.
Oh yeah,
like not a traditional franchise.
So
like
you would consider Captain America
is its
Iron
own
Man
franchise.
Franchises.
Yes.
It's an interesting distinction, and I understand it. But yes, my brain would have classified all the MCU movies as one franchise.
Okay, so The Conjuring has made $1.6 billion.
Yeah.
Which is nuts to me.
Danae, did you have any other guesses before I do my guesses?
No, now I'm stuck on, I think you almost said MC Moo instead of MCU, and I'm thinking about this world. It's like this bovine sort of like alternate universe.
Sure, totally. Yeah.
Yeah. So go ahead.
Captain Heifer America. I'm going to go with Halloween.
No, Halloween is ninth.
Okay. I thought the new ones maybe made more than that.
$620 million. A lot of those Halloween films didn't make a ton of money. There's quite a few Halloween films made like $20 million.
Do they consider the Alien movies a horror franchise?
Alien is number two, $1.3 billion.
Okay. Do they consider
the Chucky doll one?
Yeah,
not in the top ten. Right outside of it.
I know nothing about horror franchises.
Oh no, no.
Okay.
Yeah. They might include Predator, but no, it's not anywhere close.
Okay.
Babysitter's Club.
Yes, Babysitter's Club is number three.
Number three. What am I missing? I can't remember.
I don't know. I think you kind of enjoy this one. It's based on a video game.
Based on a video game, and it's the number three horror franchise.
I swear you said something like you liked one of them. I don't know. Maybe
it's very possible.
Probably gonna screw you up.
That's enough hints that I should know this, but I don't. So go ahead and tell me.
It's really the only one based on a video game. I think that we can even talk. It's Resident Evil.
$1.2 billion. No, I do like that franchise. I would have considered that sci-fi action for some reason.
Yeah.
But you're right.
There's like zombies and stuff, I guess, so it's enough to include it. And then, so Saw's 4, 5 is Hannibal, 6 is Paranormal Activity, Jaws, Final Destination.
Trolls? And then
Halloween is 9 and The Ring is 10.
I think he said Jaws, Danae. Jaws, not Trolls.
Jaws, sorry.
Trolls would be scary. That's pretty scary.
There is a Saw theme park ride. It's at Thorpe Park in the United Kingdom.
Oh, nice.
It's a dark ride mostly, but at the end, it's one of those where they shoot you up and then drop you down, which I hate. And they drop you down apparently into what looks like a bunch of spinning saw blades. They had mazes that were Saw themed as well up until 2018. Las Vegas has a Saw escape room, which I'm kind of surprised more people don't have those. The first Saw has the highest critical rating on Rotten Tomatoes at a whopping 49%. Saw 3D has the lowest at 10%, which I think was the seventh one. Saw 5, for the record, is 13%. Saw 5 has the lowest cinema score at a C. The highest grossing domestically was Saw 2 at $84 million, and the lowest grossing was Saw 6 at $27 million. Saw 5 was the first one to place lower than number one at the box office in its opening weekend. High School Musical 3 beat it.
Nice. I am so down with that.
But isn't High School Musical 3 also horror?
Yes, I think right. So. I think it's the horrors of High School Musicals. And then the only other thing I had down, I thought, was that Saw is the only film series to have its first 7 films released in consecutive years, because from 2004 to 2010, there was a Saw movie every Halloween. Oh. The previous record holder was Police Academy with 6.
Ah, yes, another horror franchise.
1984 to 1989.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned escape rooms. I can assure you that almost every escape room is kind of a Saw-based escape room.
Yeah, for sure. We did one for a friend of ours' birthday a few months ago, and it was like, it was January or something, because it was before all the shutdowns and stuff. And even though it wasn't Saw, it was very much like a Jigsaw.
So there's one in Las Vegas that is probably licensed the actual.
Yes, exactly. It's like called Saw Escape Room or something.
Danae, you want to go next?
Sure. I kind of already mentioned these in talking about Star Trek, but I looked up just to be sure that I remembered about the Klingon death ritual. I thought that was a really interesting veer from the norm, and that might be answered more if I continue to watch this, but I didn't want to spoil it for myself, and I didn't want to do too much research. I was kind of really wanting to just stay inside that vein of, it doesn't seem right. Maybe they're just like a different sect of Klingon. But yeah, very specifically in like the fandom pages and stuff, the ritual involves opening and staring into the eye of a dying individual, then bellowing loudly at the sky. The former served to observe and confirm the lack of recognition by the dying or dead, and the latter served as a warning to the dead. And then once it's complete, the body was unceremoniously discarded in whatever manner was most convenient. Without the warrior spirit, the body was considered to be only an empty shell, and it should be treated as such. So that's just such a stark difference from what we were seeing in that one. So, of course, that gave me some confidence to continue with sinning that.
Not good.
I also looked up Kelpian just to kind of learn more about that alien, as I mentioned. And then I confirmed that the person that they were calling out to on deck, they did say Wheaton, although I think it was spelled on IMDb Weeton. Mm-hmm. So obviously not Will Wheaton, but still, that was fun to look up and a little shout out.
Nice. I wanted to quickly mention that I did look up Wile E. Coyote's actual middle name. That was not a made-up name. Wile E. Coyote's, the E does stand for Ethelbert.
Oh, nice.
So Wile...
Did not know that.
Ethelbert Coyote School of Delayed Gravitating Things from that sin. And then I wanted to talk just a little bit about one of those moments when you're doing a sin and you realize there's some inherent irony in what's going on. And that was the Whoopi Goldberg thing in The Simpsons where Homer, I think, says, "I was a fool to think anyone would want nude photos of Whoopi Goldberg." And then he tosses them in a hole, and the hole tosses them back as like a really hurtful joke, just to just be like, you know, this person is so ugly that, you know, nobody would want to see her.
Not even a hole wants it. Yeah.
So originally that was just going to be my sin, was going to be about, you know, how hopefully far we've come with the idea of body positivity and the idea of you don't have to look a certain way to be beautiful, to be attractive, those kind of things. But then realized that there was a moment that Whoopi Goldberg herself, now it's a little bit different because she was more shaming Bella Thorne for having even taken nude pictures, but she had a moment where she was talking about Bella Thorne's nude pictures being hacked and just like, you know, why did she even take these pictures in the first place? You know, kind of thing. It's her like almost victim shaming that, you know, is what she was accused of in that regard. And so then I'm like, well, how do I work this into a comedy, you know, kind of thing? And so basically I just said it. I just said, you know, can I do both? And then the comedy bit was, no, not in 2020. You're not allowed to do both. There's no such thing as nuance. So that's where I ended up landing with the joke. But I thought it was really interesting that this, you know, hurtful body thing was said about her. And then also at the same time, she had this other controversy where she had shamed someone else for showing their body. I just thought all that was an interesting kind of coalescence.
Yeah, it was really weird, and I thought about looking up, but I just decided to go with the Guinan fanfic thing. But it was such a specific thing to say that I was like, was there something going on around that time with her? You know, but I couldn't remember. But regardless, it's not a cool thing. You know, there's no way good to look at it. You know, it's a terrible joke. But I was kind of curious. That was around the time she had won her Oscar and stuff like that. So maybe that was just, you know, people being tired of her or something. I don't know, but it was terrible.
I mean, there's no other way to look at that joke other than think Whoopi Goldberg's ugly and that's hilarious.
Absolutely.
And it's awful. So anyways, I thought I'd talk a little bit about that just because I do find that stuff
interesting. I didn't know about the Bella Thorne thing, though. That's interesting.
Yeah. Yep.
Because that is victim shaming, right?
That is the definition of victim shaming, yes.
Absolutely. I mean, because my wife will say that sometimes. She won't say that. She'll be like, you know, I just wouldn't take pictures, at least not on my phone, because I wouldn't want to take the chance of them getting hacked, you know? But she's never said something like she shouldn't have.
Well,
because, you know, what you do in your house, you know, that's your business.
Well, and you can have a nuanced conversation about personal responsibility and, you know, from my own perspective, here's what I would do, I wouldn't do. But when you have it in regards to a conversation that is about someone's photos getting hacked, you are tying it to something that can be hurtful to that person. And that's the difference, right? It's not wrong for somebody to say, hey, I would never take those pictures because I don't want that to happen. I'm trying to be a responsible person. Mm-hmm. But when that's your response to hearing a story of something bad that's happened to someone, that's what makes it bad. It's very similar.
Or if you're specifically saying you shouldn't have done that, basically,
right. Well,
you're blaming them.
Yes, but I'm kind of taking the idea that you're saying something, because what people will say is, it's okay for me to say that thing because it's true. Yes, but what you're saying it into, what you're responding to it with, is what makes it something that you need to be aware of.
Yeah,
it's
similar. Almost comes off too that you're giving the person that did it a break. You're basically saying, well, I mean, they were there for them to take.
Right.
So, I mean, and which is stupid. If you thought about that for 2 seconds, you'd be like, that's not right. What am I talking about?
It is one step away from you shouldn't have worn such a short skirt.
Yeah, for sure. Which I was going to tell you that today, Aaron.
Look, I love this skirt. What can I say? I found it an interesting thing, and I wanted to put it in the script somehow, and, you know, hopefully it worked out okay. All right, let's move on to the comment section.
I want to know what you're thinking.
I appreciate your honesty. You're a real straight shooter.
You are the ones who are the ball lickers.
We're each going to pick one singular comment from the videos this week.
Nope.
And and talk about them. Danae, do you want to go first?
Sure. This came from the Star Trek video. Al M says, whoa, I did not notice the zippers. Gene Roddenberry said the future would have no zippers. And then there's this wonderful conversation that happens back and forth about Enterprise had zippers like a NASA suit, but the placement does seem a bit odd here. You know, so there's people kind of conversing about that. And then a little bit down in the conversation comes Pygmy Warrior Entertainment, who says, I have a pair of trousers exactly like this. They're designed for wearing in the jungle, where you sometimes need ventilation but can't wear shorts because of the insects and foliage. So they have a mesh weave concealed behind the zip. You don't want the zip down all the time because they tend to flap around. I could see them being standard issue uniform for hot climate away missions. That said, you'd think they'd have something more advanced to keep you cool in the future. I thought that was a really interesting
comment. Yeah.
And that I learned something. But also, it's still completely sinnable that this particular outfit had potentially no purpose.
Yeah.
In my opinion,
I was terrified to read the comments on Star Trek Discovery, so I read none of them.
They weren't bad.
No, they weren't.
They weren't bad.
That's good.
They weren't bad at all.
That's good to hear.
I'll go next. I had mentioned the comment about Hollaback Girl explaining. Mm-hmm. Those kind of things. So I don't need to go over that one here. Unless you want to know, Jonathan, and then I can tell you. But I had the Jennifer Price comment that was, I want to see the family-friendly spinoff film from Saw hosting pilgrims in people's homes.
Oh, so you did have one from Saw 5.
I did have a comment from Saw 5.
I went specifically with Saw 5 because I didn't think either one of you would take a comment from there, but I did not have that one. Mine was Boss Joke said, when Jigsaw told Mark that he didn't like to take credit for inferior work, I thought this was a remark on James Wan's thoughts on the Saw sequels.
Nice.
Which I thought was very, very funny and wish I had thought of that. That would have been great.
Very nice. Look at us each doing one comment. How good are we this week? All right, let's move on to Beyond the Sin.
To infinity and beyond!
Somewhere beyond my wild history.
To boldly go where no man has gone before.
We're each going to chat about something from the world of pop culture that we've seen recently. I will go first. I finally got around to watching the first and second season of Pen 15 on Hulu. Pen 15, if you don't know...
Okay, so what is this show? Yeah, I'm really curious what the show is. I've heard about it. But.
So Pen 15 is a show created and starring a couple of women, I believe in their early to mid-30s, but they play middle school versions of themselves in this show. And the actors around them are all actual middle schoolers. And it allows them to deal with, I think, some legitimate things from their own history that they went through in that awkward stage in a way that is really, really moving, but also really, really funny. It is one of the best shows I've ever seen to help me understand what it must be like to be a middle school aged female. And it is, no topic is taboo. They deal with, you know, starting their periods. They deal with, their idea of what relationships, you know, meant then and like wanting to kiss boys and what that meant to them. And, now it is specifically in a time frame as well. They were middle schoolers in, around the year 2000. So, so it's very much that, you know, turn of the millennium kind of pop culture, which I thought was really interesting because I'll see a lot of the things they're listening to or shows they're talking about. And I'm like, yeah, I remember that from this era of my life where I was like in my, you know, mid to late 20s, you know, during that time. So I loved it. And it is one of, and Danae knows there are many of these. But it is one of those immediate, oh, Danae has to watch this show, shows, you know? And I hesitate saying that because that immediately means Danae was never going to watch this show.
That was the first thing I thought of when Aaron explained the premise was I was like, man, if Danae was in a show, that would be
that,
like perfect.
Yes, 100%.
Like, I could totally see you doing a show like this.
That
like,
is a huge acting. Part of why I just said that, yes.
That sounds like such a Danae thing.
Right.
Well, so last week... there was this moment, right, whenever Aaron's like, I watched that show you recommended, Jonathan. And Jonathan, your reaction, you're laughing. You guys have this moment back and forth. And I'm like, this is what they're missing with recommending things to me that I never watch. We don't get to have this moment. And that was really exciting to listen to. So I've got to figure out a way to, I don't know
well,
the right
is,
word.
It is on a streaming platform that you do occasionally go on binges on. Like you are on Hulu sometimes. I know you watch Hulu shows. So, you know, maybe if you just see it and, you know, by the way, Pen 15, if you look at it on paper, looks like what?
Penis.
Yes, that is the type of.
Oh, because it's one word. It's not space.
Correct. Yeah. So that is, you know. The kind
so
of humor
playing,
we're dealing
with. What, 13 or something? Is that what they're supposed to be?
12 and 13. Yeah, right in that range. Right in seventh grade.
I
they're
don't know.
Seventh
I
grade.
Just don't know that I want to go back to middle school trauma, but I understand the whimsy that you're talking about, like how it could be something that would that I would.
No, dude, I hear you. I try, which this is not as much of a comedy, but I couldn't get through. Eighth grade was like, I started watching that and I was like, I know this is good, but I'm not finishing this. Like it was just too much.
School is traumatic, man.
You know what? And maybe that's right. And maybe you would watch one episode and go, "This I like the cringe factor is too much." Although I don't think it's cringe humor, but there's that cringiness of just being a middle schooler. You know, like that's just such a weird traumatic time.
My goal throughout my entire school quote unquote career was to get the fuck out of school.
Yeah,
I hated it there so much.
My daughter's in fourth grade, but like last night, like we got her, somebody in the neighborhood was selling a are they called? I can't remember what type of scooter it is, but it's like a, it almost looks like a little kid's like Vespa or something. And so we bought that for her. And so she was like, she's on a text thread with some of her friends and she was just telling them that she got a scooter and they all called her a liar. And she sent them a video of her on it. And they said that she was at somebody else's house and was on theirs. And my wife and I both are just like, do we need to get on there? I mean, it's just, it's insane what kids do. And I don't know if they're just fucking with her, you know? And it's like, you just don't even know what the thought process is. And fourth grade. Like, I can't even imagine what it's going to be like in a few years.
I'm having flashbacks, man. Yeah. When I was in the fourth grade, it was like blood in the water. New kid at school. I was like, it was fucking horrible to be singled out by groups of girls who would descend upon you. And even if it's funny, it's just like, I don't want to fucking go back there, man.
All right. Let me change then. I don't want you to watch this show. because I will tell you, you have told that story many times about girls standing in a circle and just like hating on you. Just, yeah. You know, and like, I've never understood that better than after watching this show. The way they talk about female relationships in middle school is so personal and so like, I have never been in that world. And so I understand it better. There's also an aspect of one of the women is an Asian American. And so there is a racial aspect to what she dealt with as well. And it is so personal and so real to them that I am at the same time amazed that they are playing these performances themselves as 30-something-year-old women, and that they're able to do it, that they're able to wrestle with their own history, trauma, all that stuff. There's got to be an element of therapy to it.
Sure. Reclaiming your trauma.
Yeah. Yeah. And so
that's one of the reasons that I joke about things is because I kind of had to lean into my humor to get through bullying. And what's interesting is like, I don't know. Yeah. I've lost my train of thought.
So anyhow, I guess I take it back and I don't take it back because you will have to process some stuff. I'm almost sure of it because the show is processing some stuff. And if you don't want to process that stuff, don't watch it. Just don't. But if you're...
Well, I just feel like I've already put my work in and I kind of want to leave it behind.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure,
but
sure.
Maybe it would be something to, I don't know, maybe it'd be something to watch at some point in time and I'll be like, oh, I'm ready for that. But like right now I'm pissed. Right now I'm like remembering all the things that happened after that.
And you will be...
And then like this, there's like a reason that I became friends with guys. Like, they're so much easier to talk to.
Yeah.
And there's so much less drama and there's so much less like, I don't know. And then of course I got teased for that too. So there's just no escaping it. So.
I think what I love about it is that at the same time, it honors how real that trauma is and also how silly it is. Like, it does both things. Like that trauma that you're dealing with is very real. But they are also now as adults aware at how meaningless it was, you know, like how not in a personal way, but in a big scheme of things way, you know, that this happened or that people said this, like I think they're aware of that it was other children now saying this to them and that they're more, you know, there's an element of, you know, going through middle school is the problem with it is that you go through it with other middle schoolers. Like, you know, so there's that element of it. And I love this show for all the reasons I've explained. I do think it is the exact show Danae would make in Excel at. And I think there are parts of it. It's probably selfish because I want to hear your take on what they're saying. And is that true? Do you feel that way? Do you agree with, you know what I mean? So there's that part of it too. So I think I'm aware that I'm asking you to watch shows sometimes selfishly and like you personally, you're probably right. It might be a bad experience. I don't know. So I'm taking it back.
Well, I don't know that you should take it back because I think those are valid conversations. I feel like, you know, there's been so much time between then and now and the things that I rage about and the things that I'm pissed about right now that I'm feeling is just the injustice of it all. And like how stupid it has to be that we have to go through that kind of stuff. But I don't know. And maybe it's also because Iris is going to have to go through stuff like that too. Sure. And I really hate that for her.
Yeah, totally. So, yeah.
But hopefully she doesn't want to drop out. Hopefully I can give her some coping skills.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
Anyhow, Pen 15, it's on Hulu. There are two seasons. The first season is 10 episodes long. The second season is 7. They are half hour episodes. It's a pretty quick, breezy binge. So...
Cool.
Yeah. Jonathan, what about you?
Mine's going to be dumb after that. I read a book.
Ooh, I love it.
No, But like, and I kind of addressed this a little bit. We were talking about Saw. This is not about Saw, but I find franchises just really fascinating. Just like the process that goes into creating like sequels and stuff like that. Like that's just a part of, I always find that interesting. But so a couple years ago, this Dustin McNeil and Travis Mullins, they wrote this book called Taking Shape, which covered the entire Halloween franchise. And it was really good. This past week or so, they released Taking Shape 2. And this was even more fun for me in a lot of ways because this is about all of the unproduced Halloween sequels. And it is 24 sequels that went into some form of production and then got stopped. That scripts were written for, actors were hired. And so they do all these interviews and they detail what's going on in the scripts and stuff. And that's what I did this past week. I read that book because it's 600 pages because they're talking about 24 different movies that never got made. I just find movies that never got made really interesting because I like to find out. I don't know if you find that interesting, Aaron, but it's always just the development process and like why they got taken out and, you know, things, all the money that's spent for something that was never made.
Yeah.
Is just insane to me. So even if like you're not a horror movie fan or not a Halloween fan, or even if you're not a horror movie fan, I still think if you're just a movie fan that just finds stuff like this interesting, I think you will really dig this book. And I don't really have much more to say about it, but it's pretty nuts. Like the stuff that they were trying to do, like there's this whole time in the early aughts where they commissioned two scripts for a Michael Myers versus Pinhead movie because they were trying to jump on the Freddy versus Jason bandwagon. And it's just crazy. It's bananas. But it's called Taking Shape 2, and it's written by Dustin McNeil and Travis Mullins. So
I believe you mean it's B-A-N-A-N-A-S, bananas.
Yes, it's bananas.
Danae, what about you?
I did not watch anything or really play much this last week, so I really don't have anything super exciting to share. But I did use an app this week that, for those of you who do play like D&D style games for 5e, I just thought I would just really, really quickly mention an app that I've found useful. I keep it on my phone, so it's just a really simplified version. It's called 5e Companion App. It has like a white dragon circling a very colorful 20-sided dice. And it's really, really simple in that you can like click on a terrain and you can kind of learn about encounters for different types of terrain. So like my characters right now are in the mountain, so I can just really quickly click on, you know, mountain, and it helps me to kind of build challenge levels and stuff for fighting encounters. And as a new DM, I need help in that department. And there's a lot of websites. I've been looking at probably four or five different websites to try to figure out the simplest way to build encounters or just really quick access to monster builds and things like that that have, you know, their stats and what they do each turn, etc. And there's a lot out there. So if you're starting to play Dungeons and Dragons, or if you've been playing for a while, this might just really be redundant. But if you're new like me, I think this one has been really helpful. So again, it's called 5e Companion App, and it's cool. Free. I don't know if it's on both. You guys know I'm on Android, but that's the one that I've been using to sort of help my encounters as I've been playing Dungeons and Dragons lately.
You know, an app is good when they don't even have to give it like a marketing name. They're just like, we're just going to call it 5e Companion App.
Yeah.
It's just like,
it is, it's really simple. And at first I was a little bit, you know, you have to get used to what the buttons do, but they have like, you click one button and it's got monster stats, and then you can build combat scenarios. It has spell information. You can put character sheets into it, but I don't do that. We use another website when we play that has all of our character information. We use D&D Beyond for that. But just for a super quick kind of grab and glance, I don't know. This one is one I think is doing a great job. So
very nice. That's going to do it for Behind the Sins this week. Don't forget to make sure you're subscribed and go ahead and leave a comment or rating as well. Got anything to send us? Mail it to P.O. Box 881, Republic, Missouri, 65738. You can hang out with us on Twitter at CinemaSins BTS is the show's Twitter. I'm at Aaron Dicer, and she is at Danae Says.
DeneeSays.
And he is at SamLoomis13. So for Jonathan Watkins, Danae Hughes, and myself, we'll see you next week.
Happy Halloween!
Thanks for listening. Send any feedback to bts@cinemasins.com. And be sure to subscribe, rate, and comment. Find more ways to connect by visiting cinemasins.com/BTS.
This is Halloween. This is Halloween. Pumpkins scream in the dead of night. Red and black and shiny and green. Aren't you scared? Well, that's just fine. Say it once, say it twice. Take a chance and roll the dice. Ride with the moon in the dead of night and scream, this is Halloween. I love pens. Prep for BTS. Prep for BTS. What the hell will I talk about? Prep for BTS.
Danae, so Aaron said you guys are doing a movie night now. So do you just sit there like pissed off?
Yeah.
That you're having to watch a movie?
Pretty much.
Yeah, movie nights
are
done.
I literally just opened my phone and started playing a game.
So really Justin and Aaron and Jen are having a movie night.
Yeah. I had the craziest dream last night that I was mad at Lauren Daigle for shaving half of my head.
It's amazing.
Is that a friend of yours?
No, she's kinda. Someone that I've... No, Aaron.
I mean, kinda. She knows you. Aaron likes, if you walked Aaron into a room with Lauren, she would know you.
She would know me if I walked in the room. I don't think that constitutes friendship.
Okay, fair enough.
Do you wake up mad at people? Like, if you have a bad dream about Justin, do you wake up mad at him?
No, but he likes to play that up. So he'll say, like, I'm so sorry for what happened last night. And I'm like, please don't be mad at me. Please don't be mad at me. And I'm not. Funny. I'm not. It's just really, really intense because I have really vivid, intense dreams. They're very realistic.
My wife had a dream. I was like having an affair with like one of our neighbors, and she was like, I'm not mad at you, but it was weird.
It is weird. Well, I have really intense dreams where like I get so mad at my husband, and then I'll wake up and I'll say, I think I just have some stuff I need to work out with you, like in real life, because I was real, real mad at you in my dreams.
It happens, right? We can't help it. We're just human enough that we know it's nobody's fault, but at the same time, the emotions are real. They are real emotions, and you have to process them. You have to deal with them.
Yeah, but me having an affair is ridiculous. I'm way too lazy. Like, I mean...
We're trying to get Iris into, like, some sort of natural rhythm for wanting to clean. Like, instead of... Because I was always forced to do it when I was younger, and then I put up a fight, and then my mom was like, I don't have energy for this, so I don't even care what you do anymore.
Yeah, I've been
And so
there.
I'm like, all right, how am I going to do this with Iris? And so she'll be looking for something, and I'll say, this is probably why we should put our toys away in the same spot every day so we always know where things are. And that way she can start to think about how she would prefer that over trying to find things. And I'm hoping that turns into a desire, because there are some things where she knows exactly where they are, but it's because I put them back.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do a little bit of a cleaning up at least twice a week. So it's hard though, because, you know, that forethought, that thinking ahead part of the brain just doesn't function well,
especially at her age.
Sure.
Yeah. When you're three, so teaching forethought to a 3-year old it's not impossible. It's just not priority, I guess.
Now imagine that the thing that's left out has 4 possible culprits, and none of which have to admit that it was them.
Oh, man.
One of the male dogs we had was 18.
Whoa!
He was a Great Pyrenees lab mix. He had a lab body, but he had a Great Pyrenees face. Yeah.
Wow.
That he had really bad arthritis, but he just refused to go. Like,
oh,
he would have, like,
God,
a really bad day, and then the next day he'd be fine. He's like, I'm not done yet. Like, he was just...
My body looks like it was built in a lab, so sometimes people say I have a lab body, but...
And a snoot, too.
And a snoot. And a snoot.
I did something real dumb, and I said something I thought was funny, sort of more to myself than to her, but she heard me. Because when she said, what do shirts eat? I said, people. Because it was kind of like on us, and I'm like, nom, 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 you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like, what did they eat? And I'm like, they don't even think... there was something really sweet she said that I wanted to tell you guys. We were driving back from the pumpkin patch, and she's just kind of looking out the window, and she just talked about all the things she liked. She recounted, you know, the hayride and jumping on the big, they had like a little parachute jump type thing, going down the slides. She got to hold some cats and pet farm animals, and she's just kind of going through all this stuff, and she stopped talking and she looked out the window and she goes, "Mama, can you do me a favor?" And I said, "It depends on the favor, but sure, I can try. What is it?" And she said, "Can you bring down the sky so I can touch the clouds?" It's like, that is so cute. How are you so cute?
That's pretty good.
It is pretty good.
I can't actually make words, though. I can only make the duck sound.
Hey, have we had this conversation and then I've tried to do my Donald Duck? Have I ever tried to do my Donald Duck on the show?
Oh, my God. I cannot remember how this goes, but I remember us doing this, but I cannot remember the sound. This is going to be fantastic. Okay.
No, I have not. I don't think I've heard this. Why? That's good. Well, it's like if he was like, if like Donald Duck was like on like a hangover, had like a hangover.
That's like a murder duck. So I was listening to BTS yesterday because I totally missed reviewing it. So I'm listening to it and I was reading, I think it was Jeremy's notes that was like, this movie is stupid, 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 mm-hmm. stupid. Iris happened to be listening at that exact moment, and stupid's a word we're not supposed to use in the house. And she goes, "Mom." Like, she was on it. She's like, "Mom, we don't say that word, and you said it 3 times. You said stupid, stupid, stupid."
That's oh, really just wait, naughty. You sweet summer child.
Yeah, what she didn't hear was I had just dropped, you know, shit, fuck, damn, hell, like all this stuff beforehand. And I'm like, oh, man, this is...
Are you guys good about not cursing around her?
I mean, yeah, we're great about it. Sure. Yeah.
Welcome to Behind the Scenes, a weekly look at everything going on.
Oh, hey, Aaron, I was making a noise whenever you did that. I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
I was making a noise.
But it's okay because we have different tracks and I can just delete your noise.
Shit. Of course.
Bulleted. Welcome to Behind the Scenes. Okay. So well, you can't make a noise that distracts me and makes me laugh. There's lines somewhere.
I'm just testing your fortitude, man.
Thank you. I am fully fortified this morning. Let's try one more time, shall we? Very nice. Well, that's going to do it for Behind the Scenes this week. Don't forget to make sure you're for Freddy Kipper. And we'll see you next week.
Did I get it? Dicer.exe is experiencing issues.
I think I just had a stroke. You can also hang out with us on Twitter at
Donald? Donald, is that you?